Moncrief on News Talk
with the Dacia Duster. Shockingly affordable, and now with 3 months deferred payments too.
Later this year, people in Oregon are going to vote on legalizing a drug. In this instance, it's magic mushrooms. Now, it's not for recreational use. It's long been claimed that the active ingredient in mushrooms, psilocybin, can be used in treating mental health issues. On the line is one of the people behind that campaign, Tom Eckert. Afternoon, Tom.
Hi, how are you?
So to start with the ballot, have you garnered enough votes now to get it on the ballot for November?
Well, we've got enough signatures. That's the big news. We gathered 164,000 plus signatures here in Oregon, which means that it will be on the ballot in November.
And so what exactly would people be voting on then in November? Under what?
The measure is about accessing psilocybin-assisted therapy. So this is a therapeutic modality, and the measure will allow people to access those services, whether it's to address mental health issues or for reasons of personal growth. The main thing is that there is a therapist involved and it's carefully administered. And we take all the safety precautions necessary, including assessment for contraindications. So it's a very careful approach, but we want to create access to this really uniquely powerful intervention. I think we think it can help a lot of people.
Now, research seems to indicate that it can be useful for depression, for addiction to things like cigarettes, etc. Say, if we're talking about mental health issues, how was psilocybin used as, say, opposed to just taking a pill every day?
Yeah, it's very different than a conventional approach with pharma or even psychotherapy. So it's the experience itself that triggers the change, but that experience is couched in a therapeutic context. So a client would come and have a preparation session first, meet their facilitator, create rapport, be assessed to make, like I said, to make sure they can do this safely, and there are some contraindications. And then once things are a go, that you do a psilocybin administration session, and that's where you have the experience under psilocybin, under supervision, in a safe and affirming environment, and basically just have the experience. And then the therapeutic work comes afterwards in what we call integration sessions. So a day or two later, you meet with your therapist or facilitator, and you identify the kind of epiphanies or insights or emotional breakthroughs that might have arisen during the psilocybin experience, and talk those through and bring them into your practice of self-improvement. And when you couch it that way, we really see lasting effects in the research with pretty good frequency. So that's the exciting part.
Is it known precisely what the psilocybin is doing to the brain, that it can lead people to epiphanies such as that?
Yeah, it's a bit mysterious. There's some really good work happening around the neuroscience now. Now, for the longest time, all of this was, there was a moratorium on all kind of scientific research. But in the last 15, 20 years, there's been great strides, and we finally have a chance to see what's happening in the brain. I would refer people to Robin Carhart-Harris's work at the Imperial College of London. And it's too technical for me, but I can give you a nutshell, which is that there seems to be a kind of reset that happens. So parts of the brain are quieted down, specifically parts of the brain, a system known as the default mode network that's typically overactive in issues like depression and potentially addiction and other mental health issues where people feel stuck, right? They have repetitive patterns of thoughts and emotions that keep them stuck in their mental health issues, so to speak. And psilocybin kind of breaks through that, tamps down that part of the brain while activating other parts of the brain. And so you have this really interesting and still somewhat mysterious experience, but it provides relief from those kind of stuck thoughts. And then with integration afterwards, you can loosen things up, and it creates a kind of mental flexibility that wasn't there before.
And in the sessions before the psilocybin is taken, is part of the aim of that to direct their thinking towards those issues Because I suppose you could just take it and just think about anything, you know, and it mightn't necessarily be useful to you.
Yeah, and that's really the difference between the therapeutic context and taking it just kind of recreationally, although some people find benefits, and there's also risks to taking it recreationally. By the way, psilocybin is pretty safe on the body. It's not addictive, it's not toxic, but it does create quite a profound experience, and that's why it's important to do it in this kind of therapeutic container. Can you repeat that last question again? I'm sorry.
the session before the psilocybin is taken, that's
the
kind
intention.
Of,
yeah. Yeah. It's a huge part of it. So you, part of the preparation session, coming into the session, is really defining kind of what you're trying to do, set your intention, whether it's to get more connected to yourself, get more connected spiritually, or to address past trauma. You know, these are the kind of discussions that are great for kind of therapeutic preparation, and to go in with some intention. That's part of the context that works here. So the interesting thing about this is it's psilocybin therapy. So it's a whole therapeutic context. And when we talk about it, we want to think about it as a whole in terms of preparation, psilocybin administration, and integration afterwards. That's what the science supports, and that's what we're proposing here in Oregon.
And what would people actually physically take? I assume it's not mushrooms. Is it distilled in liquid form or something like that?
Yeah, some of that will be worked out after the initiative passes via an advisory board of experts that can work on how to create consistent dosage and things like that. There's a lot of good technology around that. One thing we do in the initiative is protect the idea that you can use organic material. We don't want to see this completely co-opted by pharma and put only in that context. So because there's a lot of history to psilocybin use and psychedelics more generally, indigenous cultures and whatnot, so we want to protect some of that container and allow folks to approach it. If they want to use the mushrooms, they can.
Because is it legal in other parts of the states for recreational purposes?
Well, it's not legal anywhere. There's a few cities that have decriminalized, which is a step away from legalization. So this model in Oregon is unique and the first of its kind to legalize access to psilocybin therapy. Now, we're not legalizing psilocybin to take home for recreational use. All of these therapeutic sessions will happen at a licensed facility with licensed, what we call facilitators. So it'll be within that therapeutic container, but people will have legal access for the first time to psilocybin in the States.
Tom Eckhart is chief petitioner of the Psilocybin Therapy Initiative. Tom, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you.
Moncrief on News Talk
with the Dacia range. Drive away today with no payments for the first 3 months.